Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Don't touch that dial. You're tuned in to the Dread Podcast Network.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back to another episode of Girl That's Scary. It's your girl, Cat Daddy.
And Jazz, the 40-ounce connoisseur.
And we're coming at you live into your ear holes. And we're talking, they're not talking yet, but we're pulling up with a double feature. This week, we're talking about Disturbing Behavior, 1998 film, and The Faculty, another 1998 film. Oh, boy. Both of these films cover teens who are going through various situations, some horror, some sci-fi. Lots of weird shit. There's adults doing weird stuff in both movies. One movie has a parasitic thing going on. Another one is also an invasive parasitic thing, but not exactly like the other. So, shabam, double feature.
Yes. Wildly enough, I want everyone to know that I'd never heard of Disturbing Behavior until like 2 years ago when we did our first back to school episode. So we do have one from 2020, and I went back. It was like, I had looked it up, you know, school, it's on the list, and I had never heard of it. Wildly enough, for The Faculty, my ass went to the theater for that, because Usher,
I gotta stop.
He was in a movie, me and my mama and my, I feel like my brother went too, we all was in a movie theater for that. That was a good time. But yes, these movies are a great time. They're both on HBO Max. They're an excellent double feature to me.
Okay, yes, this wasn't your choice, so I'm walking with it. It was a good choice.
I'm like, no. Because I saw the first one. I was like, no. This with The Faculty? That's a thing.
Okay. So watching... So backing up and reversing it. The Faculty, we've covered this movie so many times on various episodes on this podcast. Disturbing Behavior, outside of Jazz, or one of us, probably was Jazz, mentioned it in our previous back to school, like clusterfuck episode. I have never seen it. I need you to know that I just watched it for the first time as an adult recently. I spent the whole week calling it whatever the fuck the actual name was. I wrote Disturbing the Peace because I was like, it's called Disturbing the Peace. It's called Disturbing Minds. And then I got to the end of the movie and said, it is Disturbing Mind, Mitz. And you're probably like, Disturbing Minds, bitch? You mean Dangerous Minds? Yeah, I got them mixed up. But the end of this movie did turn into Disturbing Minds. It was Dangerous Minds, Disturbing.
Disturbing Minds that are Disturbing the Peace, bitch. We out here.
Yeah. DTP. Where's
Ludacris? Please.
Out here getting to the bag. But like Jazz said, both of these movies are on HBO Max. Both came out in 1998. I'm not even going to hold you. I did not see The Faculty in the movie theaters, but it was a movie I remember renting as a family night, you know, Friday night movie. For those who are new here, howdy. For those who are not, howdy again. But Friday night films or Friday night movie rentals from your local video store where, like so many people you know and probably yourself, was also my family's jam. And we're always choosing horror movies. Maybe every once in a while there's an action flick from my dad, but all of the choices are always horror movies. And The Faculty was one of them. Disturbing Behavior did not come across the TV screen that I was privy to. Maybe my mom and them watched it. I'm going to have to check in with Mama Cat. Both of these movies, I agree, Jazz. I think this was a good doubleheader. Shout out to you. I wouldn't have chosen to watch Disturbing Behavior on my own. I'm kind of glad I did. I didn't hate it. But yeah, that's my thoughts. I know, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those movies where they got some teen shit. First of all, the teens are 29. Let's start here. Second of all,
they're definitely 29 in both movies.
And they might not be 29 in real life, but they're in their 20s. They can buy liquor. Y'all, like, that's why there's a scene, you know, that we'll get to later of, you know, the teens trying to get their hands on liquor. And I'm like, girl, just walk in the store and use your fucking ID because you're playing with us. You're playing in our fucking face. Stop doing this. You older than a motherfucking policeman. Get your ass in the store.
Our face. They was playing in the face of the man in the parking lot. He just casually looked over and was like, please. Like, the way he looked at him was some like, I'm just trying to go buy my groceries. Get out of my face.
I just would like some kale and some fucking onions. Leave me alone. Do not engage with me.
Was walking away, baby. I was crying.
This conversation is over.
Denied.
Not denied, but that's kind of how it went. This movie is fun, though. Although there's not so much plot hole. Well, it's kind of plot holes. The way they treat, like, the mental illness when you see it is not very good. Some of the lines aren't delivered the best, and some of it's, you know, kind of some corny teen movie
there's
shit.
There's some shaky language that's used in both of these movies. The R word. I think there might be another F word. Yep.
Some definitely lots of slut shaming, that kind of 90s bag, you know, films. Talking of the way that lesbians are treated or gay people in general.
Smelly.
Very smelly. But for a teen horror movie from the 90s, late 90s, early aughts, not early aughts, I didn't make it there yet. I think it's pretty good to give a watch. You can't take it. Don't be trying to put it like it's a masterpiece, though. Don't be like, oh, this is well acted. That's not what you're getting.
I'm crying. What if this is a masterpiece of someone? They are going to fight you in the parking lot.
Well, what's up? And I want you to know I fight dirty. So you going to come up here. And bitch,
you throwing dust as soon as I...
Pockets I am, bitch. No, you play with me. I'm definitely going to tase you. Do not try to walk up to me and try to fight me over a fucking horror movie opinion. It's not that deep. You can enjoy the movie. It's fine. I know people. I like some movies that
did
people hate.
Did you say you can get this work?
You can get this work. You can catch these hands. Bitch, I'm crying. Everybody.
You can get this work and you can enjoy this movie if you want to. That's what I thought I heard. And I'm fucking screaming.
Well, I don't know if that's what I said, but I just need to know. Look, I'm slamming this Red Bull down because it's the morning. And I'm.
Is it? Because I've already. I mean, I know it is, but I've got the wine in my cup and I'm drinking.
Oh, I've had two shots before this. LOL.
Yes.
What a way I completed to start the first week of school. I'm very proud of me.
Wow.
And I had a great fucking week. Although I worked really hard and I stayed late every single day. I am really excited about teaching this year. But yes.
Listen, I'm not teaching this year, but I am excited about the school year. Shout out to the educators. I'm very excited. It's going to be shaky. I already know that.
Oh, it's going to be shaky as hell. But I am here for the ride.
Let's go.
Oh, yes. And I'm about to keep this mask on my face. But I'm about to be in here teaching these kids. And, you know, and shout out to all the people, if you're listening and you sent me school supplies, y'all, please. Oh, my God. I got so much. I had so much school supplies. I had to put the school supplies in a suitcase over the course of days and drag that bitch to school. I have enough composition books for all the students who don't have composition, because they was every class, they raised their hand, they don't have no book. Then I was able to give them one. They don't have
That's
this.
Wonderful.
They got pencils. Everybody got everything. We get new Spanish dictionaries. I'm about to order that. Everybody about to have everything. And I'm really excited.
You need a lot more Spanish dictionaries?
That's the only thing I'm working on now. Just get more. Because, you know, it's a situation where it's not just my class, but there's another set of students. So there's another set of 160 students who need care as well for the same subject and content. So I'm trying to, you know, make sure all 300 students get what they need. LOL. Yeah. But I am happy to do it. We about to have a great school year, and I'm going to teach these kids with all my heart because I'm excited about Spanish. I'm a nerd. Anyway,
shout out to everybody that's listening, y'all. How y'all doing?
Everybody's like, what's going on?
It's
gonna be a lot of stuff but water.
Yes.
It's a school episode, and we are educators and have been educators for nearly we're moving towards the decade, Fran.
Mm-hmm.
We're moving towards the decade.
Mm-hmm.
This is my fifth school year as a middle school teacher. Just middle school. I did pre-K.
That's wild. I am out of the classroom, but I'm still in the building. Let's go.
Listen, no, you the person with the keys to the walkie, bro.
I am. I'm aggressively walking down the hallway every day. I told
you be walking fast as shit.
I told people doing pre-service. I was like, if you see me, you usually see me aggressively walking down your hallway, like, do, hello, and then pop right out the room. That's me. I like to make sure everything is going well, and making sure everything is doing what they need to do operationally. Let's get it.
Let's get it. Let's get it. Let's get it. Involved, engage, administration. We love to see it. Well, we are here to talk about this movie. Let's do an overview of both of these movies. Mm-hmm. So, and then do a spoiler alert so we do not forget, because I am super excited and I love school-based horror. It's such a fun time because I get to examine the classroom practices, the school building, the teens and their behavior.
The choices.
It's just, yes, it's so much to talk about because this is my forte. So, Disturbing Behavior, 1998. This new kid goes to a school with his, a new town and a new school with his family after a tragedy. And the teens are interesting for reasons. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Fitting in is not always the best, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Conformity. Lots of conformity. Mm. Well, conformity is a running theme in both of these movies.
Yeah.
It's a running theme in both of these movies. And I didn't even think about that until I was watching. I was like, wait a minute. Okay. I just had picked them because I...
High school hierarchies or school hierarchies as well, or caste systems.
Yeah. We'll talk about that in general too, because that is a thing that exists. Like, it's documented in peer-reviewed work. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't pay for it. I'm not a scholar on that, but there are actual scholars on this. So if you go to have a database that you have access to, like maybe JSTOR or something, or, you know, public library, you can find documentation. Horrible. I've never used it for that because my Oracle does something else.
Oracle can use all kinds of, various things though.
Yeah. But I remember JSTOR or other stuff and just logging in through like the college joints. And of course I was a student all the way up until last spring. So I was in here reading these articles, especially about teen behavior and adolescence and, you know, their psychology and their growth. So, you know, they be in here really creating hierarchies because they need to be the top bitch. They really feel like it feeds their self-esteem sometimes. Like, if I am not cool, that's why kids be doing anything to be cool. Because if you are not cool, that is like a top priority as a teen. And as an adult, you don't give a fuck because rent is due.
Now, some of them adults still be caught falling they to do. That peer pressure, baby. And they I'm do. Like, girl, we at your big age.
But peer pressure, like the peer pressure or the you see how they're acting and what they have, or even the parents see what other kids have. Why can't you be like this? You know, that kind of situation. But yeah, we could talk about that, all that. And also just the idea of self-legend with teenagers thinking they could do anything and not die. They think they can do 90 miles an hour and do drugs and backflip on the concrete and just do fucking anything and not die because of self-legend, which is also something that's documented. They don't, the idea that it could be happen to them is like way further away than the reality of it. So, you know, the reality of you doing like some kind of grind on a skateboard or breaking your arm, you might have a 30% chance.
On a skateboard.
Yeah. My little brother broke his arm on a skateboard when he was 5. Oh. He blamed it on me. So don't feel sorry for him. I almost got in trouble for that. I was like, I told him not to do it. And he looked me dead in my eyes and said, YOLO. Did it anyway. And then his arm got caught in the gate and snapped.
YOLO indeed.
And I was like, Michael's arm is hurt. He was in there and said Jasmine did it. To be fair, he was like 4 or 5. He was like 5. So I'm like, I could understand why a small child would just start blaming somebody. Like, because you're older, you're supposed to protect me. But I did try to protect you, and you didn't listen to my words. I told you, friends.
You went rogue, like most people like to do.
He went rogue.
We had a plan, and he's okay. Said, fuck that plan.
He's all right now. He's his arm is not broken. I don't think he's broken another bone since. I think that he learned his lesson that one. My older brother's broken several bones over several times because
I've never broken a bone to this day. That's me knocking.
My older brother's been hit by a car, so
yikes.
He didn't look both ways. Don't feel bad for him. He's okay. He's okay. He just didn't.
I know somebody else say yikes.
Yeah, he's all right. He's all right. His ribs are bruised. He's okay. This happened like 5 years ago. He's all right.
All right. Get your money. Get your
check. Now get your money. Get your. In Virginia, like the laws are different. I don't think
Virginia's a terrible place.
Yeah, I don't think he got money for that because in DC he would have been rich.
He would have been paid. It's a sign on damn near every corner that lets you know a driver, you hit these niggas if you want to. I don't care if they're walking in the crosswalk and they're not walking in the crosswalk. And I understand how frustrated that is because they're just walking into the street. But you hit them if you want to. You're going to prison and they're finna get a check. You're going to owe them money.
And I'm not going to prison. I will just sit there with tears running down my face while I watch you Harlem shaking traffic. I'm going to just look at you.
Because they do so casually. And the faculty. Basically, the faculty of a school, they're not being their normal teacherly selves. They're being weird. They're being strange. And you find out, or the students kind of realize that not only are the administration is being strange, there's some sort of parasitic body snatching going on. And now they have to work to solve this detrimental issue that is the faculty. Bah, 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 bah. We already kind of spoiled this stuff. Let's go.
Spoiler alert. Yeah. So watch both of these movies on HBO Max. And if you don't have HBO Max, they are worth the money. I would recommend paying for both of these to rent. At least I would own the faculty, honestly. The way I haven't had to rent it because it's been streaming, but I would buy it. If I seen it on a shelf, I would pick it up. I would pick it up immediately.
Okay, I agree. I feel like the faculty is a movie that I would definitely also buy. I don't own it yet because, as you said, that, you know, I agree with you. We've been so lucky to just be able to stream it. But as we talked about before, as people have been talking about everything is not going to be available to stream. So if I came across this at like a bin situation or a con or somebody's little shop or store or whatever, I would totes buy it. Maybe I'm going to just search the internet later just in case.
I mean, I'm sure it's on a website or Target. Somewhere for the low, because you know Halloween's coming around. They're starting to push that horror stuff to the front, because I definitely seen a Pennywise action figure at Target. And I know it was like 40 or 50 bucks, but...
Was it another one?
I think so.
Oh, they have really good ones.
Yeah, so...
Point to mine in the background.
Yeah. I have a Michael Myers one that you got me. And I also have a Godzilla one that I got myself, I believe. But... I'm gonna go back and look at Target and just see. Maybe I just gotta run my hand across it real fast. So not really, but you know, just look at it with my eyes real close.
It's gonna end up in the cart. You go to Target for one thing, you come out, you done spent $300 and you trying to figure out what the hell didn't happen.
I already got in my bubble bath stuff because you know I'm a bubble bath connoisseur. And during the school year, I need to take a bubble bath at least twice a week. Like a bubble bath.
With the glass of the red.
Yes, and you know I'm about to pour half the bottle in there. I don't care.
You need to get one of them glasses that's the whole... Glass is the whole bottle.
No, I can't. I cannot. That's a lot. Yes. Yes, it is. It's can I drink somewhere. An entire bottle of wine?
Yes.
Yes. But should I? No.
Yes.
No, my liver.
It's good today.
It's not going to be good tomorrow. Please.
It might be. Through thoughts and prayers.
I kind of need that liver. Science. I don't want to go be on dialysis. Sorry.
I'm going to quote a line from Disturbing Behavior. Science is God. So with that, you could do anything. Amen.
Okay. Well, you can do anything, but that also takes money. And
you got that. It's coming in abundance.
I'm going to take care of my liver a little bit. Now, I'm already not taking care of it by eating whatever we have here, but I'm also, you know, trying not a whole bottle, not on a weekday, Jesus.
I judge not. You just go ahead and do what you got to do. Do what it do, baby. Sometimes you just look up the bottle, be gone.
You know, or I could get a nice, what I've been doing, get a nice pineapple juice. And you put a little seltzer in it, a squeeze of a little lime. Put an umbrella in that bitch.
You love an umbrella.
I do love. I put umbrellas in my drinks, friends. If you're listening, yes, I do. It could be any day. It could be any kind of drink. You don't have to have no liquor in it. I could be drinking water. If I want to feel fucking festive, I'm gonna stick a little colored umbrella in there because I love those things and I've been obsessed with them since I was a child. I love umbrellas in drinks. I feel like all drinks should come with umbrellas, although that might be a little wasteful, so probably not. But I like umbrellas in my drinks.
So let's dive a bit in Disturbing Behavior. We're following this new family. The main character, well, first, the main character actually that's moving into this family because of the sounds that are coming out of my mouth are already out of control. Steve. And Steve is playing by James Marsden. And you've seen James Marsden before. If you have not, please pause and go to the Google machine and get it together. Beyonce's album. That woman got a hold on me, Jesus. All I hear is the lyrics in my head. And Steve and them, they're moving from Chicago to Cradle Bay. And I'm not, did he even say where Cradle Bay is? I assume it's somewhere on the left coast.
You know I don't know where Cradle Bay is, girl.
Your maps.
You're asking me about directions. I'm typing Cradle Bay, Disturbing Behavior, and the internet.
Yeah, I don't even know it's a real place, but that's all right.
It's supposed to be like Washington. Okay, so it is on the West Coast.
Okay.
So yeah, that's what I think. Yeah, Cradle Bay, Washington. That's what it seems like. But also, I don't know, Cradle Bay is in Utah. But
what?
And yeah, it's in Utah. Okay. But then it says Cradle Bay, Washington on the IMDb. So it might not be a real place, but it is a real place. You know how they just take a town name, but they move it to another state because nobody really knows about the town anyway. It's not like a big city. Mm-hmm. It's not like they said, oh, we're in New York, but then they're on the West Coast. They didn't do that.
Okay, well. Steve and his family. Steve, his sister is played by our girl, Catherine Isabel. Her name is Lindsay. You done seen Catherine Isabel in Ginger Snaps. You done seen her in Bones. You done seen her in a whole lot of shit.
Yes.
Just, you know, coming through, stomping through Cradle Bay. And they're in here and they're going to the new local school and they link up and they clicking with their friends and Steve is making friends slowly. And then you learn really quickly that the high school that they're pulling up to, like a lot of high schools, has some sort of a caste system. And if you're not sure what a caste system is, please go ahead and go to the Google machine and educate thyself on that really quickly. I'm going to give you a second. Okay, great. So then you get there and then you find out there's the levels to the caste system. But before we even get there, we're dumped into this scene where the movie kind of opens because we see the friend. I forget the friend name, but he got the smooth hair.
I mean, Gavin. Were you talking about Gavin or UV?
Gavin, not UV.
Okay.
Also, was UV really a person who had the skin disorder? Like, I wasn't really sure. Was that somebody? Did they just dye his eyebrows and put him in makeup instead of hiring someone who actually had albinism? I feel like I might have said the name wrong.
Albinism. I don't know. Skin disorder. I'm really not sure because I'm looking at the cast list right now.
And I did not see anyone who was albino.
Yeah, but I'm also not seeing UV either. So I'm
also.
So I'm like, I know who that. Oh. Wait a minute. No, he didn't.
Yeah. Okay, so he dyed his eyebrows, baby.
It looks like it's played by Chad Donella.
Well,
and they do not look like they have any of that going on.
Any pigment situations going on. Okay.
No. Well, now, I'm looking right now and I'm like, I'm thinking that's what it is. Matter of fact, you can keep talking. I'm going to look that friend up.
Please
and
do.
I will come back with more information.
Okay, well, the movie opens up where there's like this couple, they're in the car. They look there at like, they're at some sort of somebody's version of Lover's Lane. There's always some sort of Lover's Lane situation going on. So they're in the car and there's like a jock and there's like a girl and she's giving like baby goth, but not got like a soft goth, like, you know, ooh, a little edgy. And she's like, you know, they doing what teens or some teens, not all, be doing at the Lover's Lane. They're getting close in the car. They're doing teen stuff. They're making out. And so she's like, you know, let's get it popping. And he's like, I don't really know. Like, I need all of my fluids. I was like, okay, who wrote this? And they kept saying that over and over again. Like, I need all my fluids. And then he says to her, hey, Mary Jo, why would you do a thing like that? Like when Mary Jo shows off that tat on her ankle. And I was like, why would she not do a thing like that? Because that's a bad bitch that liked the ink. I don't understand. And then he calls it self-mutilation. I said, this feels very right wing in my brain.
Child.
Maybe. And I just was like, that's not, I said, what it gives MAGA. So him in his MAGA jacket. And they're hanging out, and the girl, Mary Jo, decides, well, I'm not about to have sex with you in this car because, you know, you don't want to have sex right now, because she wanted to understand why did their makeout session abruptly end. She thought that she was going to slip the panties to the side and get it popping, but that's not what was working. And so she decided to engage in oral sex. So that's where the movie goes. And while this is happening, the young man in the car, it escalates quickly. He snaps her neck. Mid-fellatio. And I was like, oh. And as it's happening, the fans is pulling up on him. There's a young man watching over yonder in the trees because he's getting high in the bushes with his dog, minding his business Gavin. And shit. Yeah, Gavin just getting high in the bushes. And then he's like, okay, this is weird. And when the police show up and they ask the young man to step out the car, it's an older police officer and a younger police officer. And they both seem like men. They're both masculine looking humans. And so they pull up and they're like, what the hell's going on? Come on out in the car, son. Just talk to me real quick. And the younger fed finds the young, like he shines the light in the car and sees the bruises on Mary Jo's neck. Like we don't, you know, obviously he don't know it's Mary Jo, but she just slumped over to the side and he's like, maybe she's asleep. And he sees them bruises. No, this is more than that. So once he realized what's going on, bow, the young man get his ass up out of there. We got the fed dead. We got Mary Jo dead. And you think, just like the young man, Gavin, that's watching from the trees, like, oh, shit. Is the feds going to take him out? Blue Lives Matter. The older cop, you heard what I said, bitch. The older cop takes the young man. So it's okay. I had to hold my juices. The same fucking weird ass sentence. So he goes, it's all good. They dump all the dead bodies on top of each other. And the young man just drives off into the sunset. And now Gavin is sick because he just didn't want a double homicide. And the feds helped him out. Blue Lives Matter.
Oh my God. First of all, when you said double homicide, I thought of that fucking TV show. Is it the jank with the Puerto Rican princess? Is that her show? When the girl has tell like this heartfelt story and then somebody says double homicide and everybody's like,
yes, like, that's exact. Yes, it is Jocelyn's Cabaret when she says spoiler alert and trigger warning. When she talks about, I think, having a miscarriage slash getting an abortion. I think that's what she got. And then Jocelyn Wilde and someone, it's a double homicide. Ma'am.
I don't even think it was Jocelyn. I think it was a bitch.
I thought it was somebody else on the show.
It was somebody else on the show.
Oh, that drug her ass.
Yes, because everybody turned around and was like, she was like, I'm sorry. Immediately after they say that, yes. Girl.
You had to cut the show off at that point. Just...
It's like but on yes. That tattoo show where the dude was like, why are you 24 and you look 50? The show should have immediately went to commercial. Immediately dominoes.
I think it was on Ink Master. I want you to know I saw that shit and literally screamed at the TV. No, you did not ask this bitch why she looked 50 and she 24. Oh, you know life be lifing like that. Don't do that.
That's so mean.
That's and also why I don't be guessing people's ages, because that's also happened to me.
Oh, no.
It wasn't me. It was somebody else playing guess the age. It was three of us standing in a circle. And, you know, you could figure it out. Yep. And the person was like, wow, like, I didn't know. The person next to me, at the time, they were in their late 30s. So the person who is not me or the other guy in the group, she's like, oh, yeah, you know, I thought you were like in your 20s. And he's like, no, I'm in my late 30s. And then she goes to me, well, how old are you? And I was like, says age at the time. She was like, oh, my God, I thought you were younger. And I looked at her because I'm not about to play guess the age with you hoes. I'm not doing that. So she says her age. I go, whoa, I swore mama was at least in her mid to late 30s. She was 21. I said, okay.
My mouth dropped. Okay, yep, my jaw's I know in hell. Okay, wow. Nope. I'm going to keep that person lifted. Yep,
and you already know the dynamics. You already know the dynamics. And I said,
it's a look. That's all.
It's a look. So anyway, Steve and his family pull up to Cradle Bay. And he get to school. And school is lit for all the worst reasons. Like, the cast system beating his ass, him and his new friends. It's too much.
Bruh, like, this school is chaotic as hell. And I know school was a different fucking place in the 90s, right? The 90s was the Wild West. Like, teachers was leaving the kids in the classroom to take smoke breaks outside. Like, they was leaving children in charge of children and shit. They was just, you know, doing whatever the fuck they was doing. And I know it was wild. But some of the stuff that's happening in here, I'm like, is there an is there administration present? Do y'all have administration? Why can people smoke like fat ass doobies under the bleachers and nobody smell that motherfucking gas? Now, I know it's the 90s. It's probably that Reggie. But still, I know y'all smell that dirty ass devil's lettuce.
Oh my God. The scream I want to yell out right now, but I'm really trying to keep it together. First of all, the word doobie sends me every goddamn time. So who refers to weed as doobie?
That's what he said.
Y'all play too much. We're going to start there. Two paired with one. You're asking a question about where the fuck is the administration. We find out later the administration are all mixed up in the bullshit. So that's actually a part of the problem right there. Three paired with one. Let me talk about how Steve gets into the class. And the English teacher, I wanted to chop him in the throat. Because he's introducing, he's like, Mr. Clark. Mr. Clark is from Chicago. I wrote it down. I think he was talking about Charles Dickens in class. And he goes, do you guys read Dickens in Chicago? I leaned in on the TV and I said, you got to stop playing me like this. Okay. You and the chalkboard got to cut the shit out. Are you really asking this young man, do y'all read, like he's never heard of Charles Dickens before? And it's very likely, but knowing how the U.S. education system is set up and we're all roughly reading the same 30 to 50 books over and over again. Yes, he's heard of Charles Dickens. Y'all make sure we know who Charles Dickens is in high school. Stop playing.
And you know what? I'm very happy that my high school did not force us to read any Charles Dickens. And able to read Zora Neale Hurston. Okay.
Oh, I had that too. Wonderful.
We read James Baldwin. Yeah, we had to read.
We did that too in middle school.
Yeah, we were going to go Helen on the Mountain. It was my ninth grade read assignment. Like, I had ninth grade summer school, Jane, because they made you go to summer school before my school. It was mandatory, bitch. Whatever school you can't, we don't give a fuck. Freshman or spring school. You're going to do this book report, bitch. They made us do a talent show. You had to do a talent show it was a requirement. Everything was a fucking requirement. You know, guess what we did?
I'm crying at the talent show being a requirement and not an option, girl.
Somebody danced to Goodies, first of all.
Okay, as they should. Hey, my Goodies. Hey, my Goodies.
But then they tried to kick him out of the school because of that. So,
okay, but was the dance tasteful for the school?
It wasn't that wild. It was probably wild for 2004, but they were not like twerking or nothing for real, for real. They were not even.
What was happening?
I don't really, I remembered, I was like, it wasn't even that bad.
This
like,
was racist because Sierra is the best dancer.
It was one white person.
Wow, got me together.
But I don't know. I just felt like they really overreacted over that fucking dance. But me and two other girls with the same name, all of us, yep, we sang SWV Week. That was a good time.
Amazing. Way to go for school credits.
Yep. That school was great. Anyway, back to these niggas who are in this wild ass school. Oh, yeah.
I'm crying. I'm so weak. They're in the school is crunk. And then you learn a lot about this particular group. Like, we talked a bit about the caste system. And what's my man's name? I keep forgetting his name. Gavin. Gavin is breaking it down to Steve. Him, Gavin, UV, they friend. They talk about Rachel. That's the girl that's in there too, played by Katie Holmes. Katie Holmes giving an alt girl. Yes. Out west. I loved everything about Katie Holmes' look. She was like doing some kind of dance in the school. I don't know, girl. She was Razor. Song in her heart. But Gavin is getting Steve together and letting Steve know, like, hey, so here's the cafeteria. It's crunk in here. Welcome from Chicago. And let me tell you about everything that's going on. Like, here's this group and this is their vices of choice. And here's this group. And that doesn't necessarily mean that this is like their actual vice, like a drug. But, you know, he's just trying to give him I guess this is that lingo for the time, shaking my shoulders. I don't know, girl. And so they get to the Blue Stripes or like your jocks. And they're like, oh, they're the clean cut kids. They run like the bake sales, but they're really weird. Like, he tells me, like, it's something else going on there. And the fact they're called Blue Stripes and Blue Ribbons, excuse me, but they, like, call them, like, the Blue Stripes or some shit like that. It's girl. And the Blue Ribbons tend to have, like, a, quote, motivational workshop after school. And we learn a lot more about what that looks like. But their cafeteria is real weird. It's set up like Mean Girls. If you're trying to figure out what's going on, like, think about Mean Girls. If you haven't seen Mean Girls, I don't know what the hell you're doing.
Watch it right now. I love Mean Girls.
That's literally it. And you're going around the cafeteria and you're seeing how, like, everybody's like, so, you know, you have like the people who are really like quote unquote computer nerds. They're in the computer and some shit. You have like the jocks over here. You have these girls over here. I do not like how they immediately start slut shaming Rachel out the cut. Not Gavin, but other people, like, just like, I'm assuming she stays in like the the poorer side of town. I hate saying that, but that's where she is. And then they also talk about how, you know, she get around. I'm like, but does she really? Like, how much of this is Rachel actually expressing herself through her sexuality? And then how much of this is you just being a shitball human?
Yeah, you just, like, you're making assumptions. Because I'm like, you never really see her involved.
Right.
With anybody. You only see this one dude who keep pressing her. And, of course, the main character, like her, like Steve is like, yeah, Rachel, wow. And, yeah, but I think Chug is the guy who's like, who wants to go out with Rachel, who's a blue ribbon. And they said she looked a little flatter when she talked, when he talked to her, but I don't think she was still interested in him though. Like, no. I don't think she was truly interested. I think she was just trying to not be like really mean about it, because also people have to understand that you can't just like get the fuck out of my face of this big dude who's like twice your fucking size. Cause we see in a later scene that he presses her. He presses her. He was assaulting her.
Yeah.
Because she told him no. He was screaming on her, and the only way thing that stopped him was a fucking noise. But that's, you know, way further ahead.
Yeah. I mean, but we could drive along that, because, you know, Steve starts to get to know these people and he's listening to Gavin. And first Steve is like talking to Gavin because we've transitioned from the school just in general. But Steve and Gavin get alone, and Gavin's trying to tell him like, hey, like, so everybody I just told you about, like, and they go to, like, they go hang out at the local, like, shop, which is, like, the milk shop. Like, it's 1955. And it's, like, makes me feel like, oh, that's where all, like, the pure or whatever kids, like, here's all the, like, it's just weird. It's weirdo behavior in this town. And they're really, and if you're, like, milk shop, yes, bitch, they are in there drinking milkshakes, bitch. They're in there drinking sarsaparilla. They're having yogurt a good time.
Shop.
Yogurt. Shoppy.
The fro-yo. What's a shoppy?
I be calling it shoppy, but that's the shoppy with the N. But he's telling, like, that everything is not what it seems. Like, there's something else sinister going on. And Steve kind of shrugs this off, like, eh, you making this shit up. This don't even sound like nobody. I just got here, bro. I got my own stuff going on. Because you find out with Steve's family, like, they're trying to start anew in Cradle Bay. His brother, trigger warning, his brother unalived himself and committed suicide, I believe. And just, you know, it just really, as you one would know or assume, it kind of tore their family up. Like, they're trying to start anew. And they already had plans to move out. But if I got the months correct, his brother hurt himself 8 months before they moved. So 8 months to the day before they moved. And he was described to be someone that seemed to always be in some sort of inner turmoil by his siblings, but they were still trying to help him, like, find, like, happiness and light and just support him the best way they could. So just trying to get out of the Chicago area to start anew. But when you get here and you end up in some fuckery and find out it's some more sinister shit going on, because you're thinking, like, oh, it's like robots, right? Like, if I saw the faculty, like, they're like, you know, like aliens. It's like, no. You find out that the administration is, like, trying to take kids that are deemed or seemed as or perceived to be as like troubled or all that other stuff and make them like good kids with an asterisk. And then you're trying to mold them within your image. And Gavin is telling Steve of what he thinks is going on, even shows him the meeting, shows the parent link up, shows him everything. And Steve's like, yeah, this is not real. And when they come back from the event, like, Gavin's got this gun. It's some real wild shit. He's like, yeah, I'm about to smoke them all. I'm like, whoa, okay, school shootings. Okay, you're about to kill your parents. You're about to kill the teachers. And I'm walking with you because you're like, it's some wild shit going on here. They're trying to reprogram the kids. And Steven and everybody else who's not pippy to the shit is just taking this as like, oh, yeah, reprogramming. Oh, yeah, this is really what's going on. Not like, no, they really are brainwashing these kids. Like, they're really sticking shit into their eyeball. They're really having them hooked up to some sort of hive mind situation to get them to live out their bidding, to do their bidding against their will. Like, it's some weirdo shit going on. I'm walking with you,
bruh. It's some Pleasantville shit for teens, bruh. You trying to, it's like the men were trying to control the wives in that movie, but this time the parents are trying to control the kids. Like, my kids are not doing what I want them to do or living the life that I think they should live. you know, and sometimes it's important stuff like, you know, your grades or you're doing drugs and you're like, you know, 14 or 15, like you're out of control. Or but sometimes it's just I'm not joining sports and I'm in my room a lot. And you think I need to literally have something implanted in my brain so I can do things that are pleasing to you. That's some fucking narcissistic ass shit. And then was wildly, because we get all the way to the end. I'm not going to skip all the way here because there's a few scenes I do want to talk about this movie because wow. But they lose their kids over that shit. They lose their children.
Yeah.
Because I didn't remember that ending because I had watched it like 2 years ago. So I remembered what happened for the most part, but I forgot what happened to the kids. I thought that they maybe saved them. No, no, no. Your kids are gone, baby.
Yeah, and not even to skip too far much ahead, because when I got to the end and I was like, wow, didn't expect it to end like this, because you usually don't see an ending like this. The kids were really like, it was a thing. Like, you see how it's small things, and then it kind of gets big, and then gets small and gets big. It's like, just you see it from all different angles. You see it from in the lunchroom, and how they're engaging with fisticuffs with different students, and they're trying to, like, pass it off as, like, oh, they're on, like, roids, like, steroids. It's, like, roid rage. This is what they do. Like, they just get so pumped up. Like, oh, they're meatheads. Oh, they're jocks. Like, this is just what they do. They fight each other. But everyone knows it's not, like, it's not normal. Because kids fight. Like, people fight. That's what people do. Like, it happens, right? Like, no one's like, oh, I want them to fight. But it happens. But the way that this situation is playing out, it just looks like there's just more to it. The group kind of moves like a pack of animals, like truly. And I know they're probably thinking of like maybe the kids are on like some hive mind shit, but no, like, or not groupthink, but no, they're really moving like a unit of people who are people or a troop or a pack of animals who are out here trying to defend themselves or defend what they're trying to push onto others, if that makes sense. Thanks for everybody for walking with me. And you see this in many things. You see this at different link ups. You see this at different functions. It's just, and then you also see immediately, you know, there's something going on because their eyeball, like when they start getting real gassed up, whether it's their like sexually charged stuff or whether they're ready to rumble, their eye gets, yes, ready to rumble, bitch. Their eye glows like the Terminator and turns red and like, it's like the 99s, 2000s magic on the screen. And then things go left. We see this in the scene where Steve's at home and a young lady comes over and she's acting like she's supposed to be tutoring his sister, because you can see how they're trying to weave into their lives, like, you know, kind of get the thing going. And she's, once she starts feeling like she wants, and I don't know how much of this was like they were trying to program her to approach him sexually, like to be like that kind of decoy to kind of lure him in, or if that's how much she really wanted to do it. Because when she starts feeling aroused, or that's what they say in it, like they try to tap into like the whatever sexual feelings they have, their brains are like, no. And she starts punishing herself. And I forget the young lady's name, but she's one of the cheerleaders that are on the blue stripes or blue, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Blue
Lorna. Women's.
Thank you. Because I was like, girl. But she was like banging her head against the glass. And I was like, girl, this is not a good look. Like, this shit is wild. I also hate how they went from trying to like entice slash really like be really gross with their interactions with Rachel to try to make her to join the team. It was too much.
Also, I think it's so wild that Lorna was punishing herself. But in the beginning, a dude don't punish himself. He punished a girl. Like,
so she, ooh,
you know, he don't stop him. He don't hurt himself. Although she is like, she was giving him oral sex. He allowed her to undo the pants. He was having a good time at first. And then something switched in his brain. It wasn't an immediate like Terminator. It was happening for a little while. He was like, yeah. And then the brain was like, no. And then he snapped her neck versus, you know, the other thing where the girls are programmed to hurt themselves. Cause I'm like, why didn't she hurt Steve? I don't know. Because she initiated it. Cause he was like, get out my house at first. He's like, no, you need to get the fuck out of here. Take your coat and go.
But also, but he didn't, even though she initiated it, were they programmed to like purposely to be like the seducer, to be a siren type character? In addition, instead of reacting the way the other character acted when the sexual act was brought to them,
Yeah, I don't know, because we don't get that information. But the when they do visit the doctor's like lab, he's known for mind control. So it could be that, because we don't know if it's like, oh, it didn't alter their brain where this is what they care about. But then the side effect is the, you know, their libido. If it increases or they get too, you know, in the mood, they about to overload or, you know, right. Short circuit, whatever. Because like it happens in the grocery store. The dude goes off, it's Chuck, after he hollered at Rachel. He ripped the dude fucking septum ring out. He threw this motherfucker into the steaks and the pork chops. He'd have kicked down all the milks and shit. And then they just, the police just like, oh, let's get him out of here. Okay, he's just having, it's all right. It's not okay. Several people were hurt.
Hashtag it's a cover up. One thing I did like is, did/didn't like was the character, I forget his name, but the character that essentially plays like the custodial worker at the school who works at/under the school, and the way they teach, they use the other R word on him. Not a fan. And he ultimately says that he's basically playing possum. He's playing like he is quote unquote dumb or he has some sort of disability. Everything about the way that was handled was not the best. It was not good. But he was playing it up like there was something else going on with him outside of what is, in a quote unquote, perceived as normal. And of course, you know, with this whole caste system, they're going to treat him as an other because he is like a caste system, someone who works in sanitation and not someone who has like another kind of role, which is really gross. Not the role in sanitation, treating people as less than because of what occupation they have is gross, actually. So yeah, so the students are treating him that way. Even the staff are kind of like a little weird. But he's actually the top flight scientist. He definitely knows something else is going on. And he's created some sort of frequency system. He keeps saying, I got to get the rats out of here. And he does. Not just the actual physical rats you see rolling around, but he's getting the kids and the other people that he knows that have been had some sort of shit done to them up out of here. Like the high frequencies of the radios really act as a deterrent. It saves Rachel when she's being sexually assaulted by the guy on the team. It ultimately saves the town in the end, like Jazz says, when they get everybody up out of here. Let me know when you're ready to talk about this, Ian, because the way that they literally descended, baby, I said, oh, okay. Well, all right.
Wow. I do want to go back to just the one part, because it was on the screen, so it was clarified. She did hurt herself, but she also tried to hurt Steve. She tried to take both of them out. She was like, yeah, I hurt myself. And then I'm going to stab you up. And then she snapped out of it and buttoned up her blouse. Was like, all right, bye. See you at school, bitch. Excuse me. But yes, this end is wild because, of course, the custodian worker is trying to get rid of the rats. But he uses that frequency all over his car. And they are trying to take the sound down. So he gets in the car and was like, this is it for me. I can't be nothing else. And I'm like, you could literally get on a Greyhound and start anew. You don't have to do this.
But maybe he could have. He got shot though.
Oh, he did. In the lung, I'm assuming. Was bleeding. Oh, he might have.
I don't know. Bleeding real bad because that doctor we find out. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, he that doctor ain't shit. That doctor ain't shit. He didn't want to go there. But yeah, no, he was probably dying. He's like, I'm gonna take everybody out, and he drives these motherfuckers off the cliff like Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Child took them hoes out like Thelma Louise. Everybody went off that cliff and I was just like, oh, okay. Because let's back it up and reverse it. The doctor, who also was one of the administrator people who clearly had a job doing other stuff in his spare time, he worked at the Belknap psychiatric like ward or something like that. And you find out that he secretly had his door hidden away there. And with, you know, with his experimentation of doing mind control and other things, and how he brought, you know, you find a little bit about his story about how he not only just brought it to this town, but it's like, bitch, I can take this to any town. I could be anywhere, bitch. I could do anything. And it don't just stop with me. Like, it could be anybody, which foreshadows a lot of stuff, because after you, one assumes like all the kids who are in some sort of under, blah, 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 under some sort of influence. Thank you. Had to slow it down, baby. Yes, sir. Under some sort of influence, and who are all attacking the vehicle that has that frequency come out. We see the end, which is why I said this movie is actually disturbing minds, because we're introduced to a new school setting. It looks like we walked into Dangerous Minds, the set, and all the students with the black and brown students who are being like extra. And you have like the 90s quintessential how they perceive inner city classrooms to be, helps holds nose. regardless of how true or untrue it can be, it just still holds nose because of Hollywood's depiction. Girl, that's not how all these classrooms were looking, but okay. But all the students are in the class. They crunk. You got the black teacher who's in the front real sweaty because he's tired of telling the class to shut the fuck up and sit down. He just over and he was like, well, we're going to get this new student teacher up in here and he's going to get y'all together. And the new student teacher walks in. It's actually Gavin. He's got this chopper suit on and he is the only lone survivor to our knowledge from the gang of teenagers or youth them who were under the influence of this brainwashing. And he's pulled up in this new school and he turns around and he's smiling because he's bringing that brainwashing to the inner city schools. And I said, girl, you need to get this fucking whispered extension shit out of my head. Okay. Manifest destiny, these nuts. Get out of this classroom. I'm tired of you.
Bruh. And I'm like, okay, well, it continues. I do want to talk about the programming a little bit because, of course, they're trying to inject something into their eye, whatever.
Yes. But
the sound that they're saying, like what you're hearing a lot of words. So it's literally brainwash. Ace, achieve. You're an ace. You're the best. You this. And it just really sounds like American exceptionalism. Like you're the best. You're on top of everybody. You're pure. And it goes against human nature because then when their actual natural human crave, like things they crave or, you know, their urges pop up, it conflicts with the brainwashing so much that they hurt people. So I feel like that is saying something a little bit. I like that.
I did too. But ultimately, like I said, even for this to be my first watch of this movie, okay, back it up, flip it and reverse it. We're going to talk about scores a little bit because this is all woven together. Walk with your girl. The IMDb score for this movie is 5.6 out of 10. And the Rotten Tomatoes score for Disturbing Behavior is 34%. This movie, y'all can't see Jazz's face.
30? Come on, man. Does it have some plot holes? Is some of the dialogue a little, all right. But this is 30 is pretty fucking low, man.
34%. This movie, I think the IMDb score, I think this movie is about a 6.
Yeah.
That's not horrible.
I say it's 6.5. I like, because I just like it. I think it's fun. But I'm not about to be watching it all the time. I think between 6.5 is pretty good. You know, it's middling, but above average, just a bit. Just a bit above average.
And it could have fleshed out better.
Yeah. It had like some minor things would have improved a lot, I feel like. But the 30%, and this is Rotten Tomatoes, these same motherfuckers who gave Multiple Maniacs 100%. So they can really just fight me in the streets. So there's that. 30%. Y'all could have at least gave them hoes 40. You could have at least gave them 40.
They tried. Come on, man. It was a 4 in the number?
Uh-uh. It was after a decimal point. That's not it.
I'm weak. Well, Disturbing Behavior, a.k.a. Disturbing Minds, directed by David Nutter. We recommend that you check it out at least once, especially if you're doing a doubleheader with the next movie that we're going to talk about. I definitely think it's worth your time. It's worth your time. It was fun seeing Katie Holmes in a role that Katie Holmes, I usually don't see her play. And especially during this time period when she was like heavily in the acting stuff, like, you know, because she was a part of like the young Hollywood, and we saw them a lot of TV shows and saw them a lot of things. Alt Girl was not a role that I've seen Katie Holmes play, so I was excited to see that. I'm a little nervous about the gentleman that was playing someone who was supposed to be albino and was not albino, and I'm a little nervous about that. Did not age well, but the overall story and the premise of the film, I'm fucking with, like Jazz said, it's like Stepford Wives meets the next movie, The Faculty. Like, the staff is the school, just like they try to say in a lot of horror movies, the school staff is never up to the best things. Like, they're always up to no good, minus like one or two people. They be cutting up.
And I'm like, damn, come on, bro. You get to the faculty, but for us cutting up off the motherfucking early. Bro, I watched this movie last night, and mind you, I've seen this movie a lot of times. So a few days ago, I had this on the background, Cat. And I've also seen it in between there at least twice before this in 2022 because it was on HBO Max. I was like, oh, yeah, about to watch it. I've also seen this in theaters. This is one of my favorite sci-fi movies. It reminds me of The Thing quite a bit because some of the scenes. But I'm with that shit. So we's in this high school, and Robert Rodriguez directed this. And I keep forgetting that shit because it don't feel like his other movies. They don't feel like From Dusk Till Dawn, which I keep forgetting that he directed because Quentin Tarantino wrote it and he's in the movie, but he, Robert Rodriguez, pretty much, he directed it. So I'm like, oh man. And he did direct the second one and Machete and all that fun stuff. He did all that good stuff. But those movies kind of have a feel though.
Spy Kids.
And Spy Kids, wildly enough,
I keep throwing the Spy Kids.
I think that's his most popular movie, isn't it? Is it not?
One of them. He's had his hands in a lot of things, though.
He has. He's been working on a whole lot of shit, okay? He was involved in one of the Kill Bills as well. He was involved in a whole lot of shit. But they don't feel like the faculty, this sci-fi teen drama in here. But I like it a lot. I liked it a lot. We get in here, Usher's in here playing Gabe. And the first thing we start with, this coach is just yelling at all these football players. You see it, Stan, he the quarterback. He's calling them pussy pukes. He's cussing them the fuck out. Again, yes. School in the 90s, Wild Wild West. How are you allowed to talk to these children like this and still have a motherfucking
just
job?
Like school prior to that, when they were literally practicing corporal punishment in the classroom. I've seen teachers throw kids across the classroom.
I've seen a teacher throw a chair at a kid. I was in middle school.
Teacher throw a desk across the classroom. So.
They was talking, and because they were talking, they wouldn't shut the fuck up. Man. And I understand. And I was in middle school, so this was my teacher. I'm in the classroom also. Why are you as the adult in the classroom, you thought throwing a chair was going to change them shutting the fuck up? And they still kept talking. So now you're just, your blood pressure's going up. You're reacting like this.
School is wild, man. School is wild. So glad people have kind of sort of gotten information afterwards because, like I've been in an English class, my high school English class. That nigga threw a desk across the classroom. As for the same scenario that you're talking about, the kids won't shut up. So you think we're about to shut up now because you throwing a desk across the classroom? Pitch what? You might as well go and take a walk, sir. Go and take a walk. You need to calm down.
Yeah, you better find another method. Find another method, bro.
This ain't because it, baby.
This isn't it.
You gotta get it together. You're looking like you ain't got no tact nor no class. But the way this movie opens up outside of, you know, the coach just like coaching the kids and going through things and you figure out something's going on. There's like a couple staff members, including the principal, administration member. Mary Beth, that's a student. Miss Karen, Miss Olson. That's what I'm talking about. Played by Piper Laurie, aka Margaret White from Carrie. Because I love pulling that up. Margaret White is in this movie and she's playing a different role. And it really excites me because I am a Carrie stan. And that's pretty much it. But some of the administration are at the school pretty late. And the coach, Coach Joe Willis, the coach that Jazz is talking about, pulls up on the principal. And he's being real fresh and inappropriate with her. And it's just really like, it's really freaking her the fuck out to the point that he tries to advance on her and essentially attack her. He does attack her. And she's trying to escape the school. And there's this whole sequence where she's trying to get out. And Mrs. Olson is trying to get her out the school because she's like, oh my God, the coach is coming, he's coming. And she gets out the door. Baby, it's already too late. Whatever's going on has already influenced Mrs. Olson because she knocks the principal out. The bitch got that sauce.
Stabs her ass with the scissors. And I do want to note that the coach stabbed her in the hand with a very sharp pencil. Kept saying, you look very pretty. Which is something that you hear a lot. And they get real hot after, like, they let their fucking hair down. They got, you know, they did a new smokey eye now. And they came in with their outfit. And they got a new switch in their walk. So they brand new bitches after they get the little, whatever's going around. Now, at school, they do the, you know, 90s. We about to introduce everybody. We about to freeze the frame and put their name up. But you know what? I appreciate because I need to know who everybody's name is. Thank you. This helps. It's not going to take me out of the fucking movie because it's a movie. All right. I knew it was a movie when I went in here. You couldn't fool me. So they got all these characters in here and you got the, you know, usual suspects. You got like, I think it's Casey getting off the bus, played by Elijah Wood, get his ass beat. Motherfucker get off the bus, take three steps and get bowed in the face. They throw his balls against the goddamn... the flagpole. I'm like, how is this abuse allowed to happen? This is a lawsuit waiting to happen. I don't understand.
No, we're on the same page. It's a lot. And that's what's like, the 90s is wild because y'all really was like cutting up like this in school. I'm so glad they put a lot of the procedures they put in place because This is wild. You got students getting fucked up, getting their ass beat in front of all the administration. You got another student who like a super senior, he in there pushing drugs to the whole school. It's a lot of shit going on. It's a whole lot of shit. But you know, a lot. I love that we're kind of following Elijah Wood's character. Elijah Wood plays Casey, and just see their journey going through high school. We see a lot of familiar faces. We see Delilah Prophet, played by Jordana Brewster. You've seen her in the Fast and Furious franchise. Like, you've seen her. We've got someone plays Stokely, goes by the name of Stokes, and that's Clea DuVall. You've seen Clea DuVall in a lot of movies. What is it? I'm just a teenage cheerleader, or I'm just a cheerleader. Yep. I think that's the movie.
I've never seen that, but yes.
Oh, it's a good time. I fucked up the title, but I saw it like a couple times as a kid, saw it as a teen. Like, I like that movie a lot. And this one's like, how do you, bitch, we gay. We watching it, okay? It's got my face. But there's a lot of people. We got Zeke, which is played by Josh Hartnett. He's the super senior that's out here pushing the drugs. We got Stan. We got a punch. We got Usher. Usher. He literally, when this movie came out, they was pushing this movie like Usher was the movie. And he is the movie. That's not a question. But he's in the movie for all of like 5 minutes or so. Maybe even 10 to be cute. He's not really in the movie, girl. The movie really follows Elijah Wood and them. It don't really follow Usher. Usher actually fall victim to the bullshit, to be quite honest.
He's literally in like what? Two scenes? No, three. You see him at practice. You see him at practice at the end. You see him like, yeah, they're giving people ear drinks. And you see him out there when all the football team is out there. And he's in the window. I'm the captain now. You not mad, Stan?
It was a lot. But yeah, once again, this is another movie where the school, the students have like a caste system. It's kind of talked about a little bit. It's kind of just shown throughout. But you see all the different kids that go to the school, like the pierced up kids, the kids who are smoking that gas on the lawn, the kids who are just like, I'm out here, you have to get fucked up. We see a couple people who, you know, later have been wiped off the face of the earth due to stuff that they've done that's inappropriate outside of their career. So I'm not even going to mention those guys, but you see them. You know what I'm talking about. If you don't, go ahead and do your ghouls. But once again, we find out that there's some sort of specimen that exists. And you see this whole tidbit a bit down the road with Professor Edward Furlong, who's played by John Stewart. And they have the being inside of a fish tank. And it's got like lots of tentacles and little like vines that are coming out of its body. It looks like a fish, but no like actual like fins. And it's in there and it's doing stuff. And they're like, oh man, they're interested. But it's actually moving and shaking like a piranha. And it's producing with itself. So it's just like, whoop, it made another one. That's it. And we're finding out that, you know, it's parasitic. And it's a weird how it's happening because they're talking a bit like what kind of things that the creature needs. Like, it clearly feeds off of blood. It clearly survives a lot, often thrives with water. And you notice, like, as they're going through and making these discoveries, you see, like, the faculty are like, they got water pumping through the building. They chugging that water, bitch. And, like, an ungodly, like, weird amount of water. You see that there's stuff happening to people. Everybody starts moving all weird, like, kind of symbiotic, one band, one sound, one mindset situation. It's very interesting. And more people start getting infected. Like, they eventually infect the nurse, you know, all the teachers. And then they move from the teachers and the administration. They move on to the staff. And I'm not kind of wavering over things because you start to see a lot of other things, too. Like, you know, some of the teachers are really having inappropriate language conversations / maybe interactions with students. Yeah, zoom all the way in. Y'all can't see Jazz, but yeah, they're being real inappropriate. A lot of sexual conversations happening between staff and students. And I'm like, girl, I'm alerting the authorities, bitch. I'm scared. What's going on? Mm-hmm. Mm-mm-mm. It's not giving. I don't even know why that people thought this was cute to make this a thing. I don't understand.
1998. That's what it was. They really thought it was a great idea. We are just going to go ahead and let Miss Burke. First, it's Zeke having an interaction with her, like, oh, I'm about to sell you these. Because she's like, you need to stop doing this on school property. You can't be out here doing this. And he's like, I'm not on school property. I'm on my property. Your property is on school property. Stop doing that. Your purse is your property until you bring it to the fucking school. They can search your shit. Do I really agree with them just searching everybody's shit? Yes, because people be shooting the fucking schools up, and I work there. No, y'all can't just be bringing anything up to the schools, because y'all sometimes y'all be up to no goddamn good. Bring regular stuff to school, please. Not these fake ass fucking porn or fake ass new pictures of Neve Campbell and shit you got in the back of your trunk and this cat and these pins, because you doing a whole lot. Why you got fucking cherry condoms? Why do we have that? Anyway, he's like, oh, they're on the house. Here's these condoms. What the fuck are you saying to this teacher? One, two, that is highly inappropriate. First of all, if I am the teacher, because she's like, that's so rude. I wouldn't say, I'm like, that's highly inappropriate. I want a restraining order. This is, I'm calling the prince. Everybody, now 1998, that wouldn't have got me nowhere. In this day and age, you've created a hostile work environment for me. Because now I can't do my job because you in here doing what the fuck you doing. You got to get the fuck out of here, my nigga. That's it. You got to go. You got to go. I'm not working in these conditions. Okay. You're not going to talk to me like this. You're leaving the premises. What is wrong with you? But, you know, she just walks away. That's so rude. But then she come back later and cuts him the fuck out, which still unprofessional. I know you got a bug in your ear, bitch, but you can't be, you still can't be saying that to kids because this is your job.
The bug and then later, your whole chest.
Yes, and then when you go to the end, she out there on the bleachers waving at him. This is suggestive. I don't like that.
Yeah, everything about it is weird.
How are you on the football team? How? I think he's too old because you was already a super senior. What season is this? What year is this? How old are you? Are you 19? Are you 20? I don't think you're allowed to be on the football team.
Super senior style. I don't know. I don't know. But let's dive a bit into the invasion process, because we've talked about this movie so many times on this podcast. So I, like most things, we're not going to go scene for scene. But there's a part where the shit is really hitting the fan. At this point, majority of the school got that sauce. Damn near all the teachers got that sauce. They are lining kids up in the hallway during the day like, hey, come on in. We have a meeting. It's come and talk to the principal. They calling people one by one on the intercom. So you know it's cooking up. They're taking it so far. They are contacting parents. This invasion is well thought out. They're going from faculty to students. We branching out the families, bitch. We about to get whole communities. Come to the community after school link up. You about to get that shit. Let's go. And these teens are realizing like, okay, what's going on? They're also being gaslit by other people that don't believe them, that something actually is going on, very much like Gavin in the previous movie. Like, hey, like there's something more sinister happening here in our community. And because like horror movies in real life, no one really believes the children / the teens. Like they think they're just making this shit up. They think they're just trying to get out of school. They think they're just, you know, have really wild and interactive imaginations. But that's actually not what's going on. There's some shit really happening. Like I'm watching a scene right now where they're in the classroom and the student redirects Mr. Tate. And he's like, yeah, we're not talking about that. And this is after Mr. Tate got abducted. And he was like, yeah, we're not really on this chapter anymore, man. That we're on something else. And he's chugging out. He's like, yeah, I don't really know. But let's also point out that most of this shit happens after we meet the newest addition to this high school community, Mary Beth Louise Hutchinson. And she's trying to link up with Stokely and then talks about like, you know, it's okay if you're gay. Like, you know, it's cool. I'm trying to make friends. Like we could be friends and you don't have to be like that. And she's trying to connect with everybody and ain't nobody really feeling her. But also it's crazy to me that nobody suspected her from the jump for even having something to do with it. Especially when there's the scene in the movie where they're all taking turns sniffing the drugs. Because they discover that if you sniff the drugs, this fucking DARE commercial PSA ass movie. If you sniff the drugs, you can keep the fucking parasites away. So everyone's going around sniffing the drugs out the big pen caps. And they're sniffing the drugs and she half does it, but doesn't really do it and put it away. Also, there's a scene later in the movie where she's very eager to dump all of the new batch of drugs they just made on the creature or one of the creatures. Like she just dumps the whole shit and ain't one no fucking reason for her to do that.
Cause it was already dying. It was already fucking dying. Also, the bullshit started popping off when you started popping up. You just got here, now the bullshit got here. The bullshit won't like this for the past couple of years, okay? Mr. Tate stopped drinking alcohol. He's drunk every day. You know, this is wild. Every day. And then a lot of states tried to expose it and nobody gave a fuck. They was like, girl, okay, and then what? We gonna put a long-term sub in there? Who don't have... Now what? He drunk as hell. Drinking water, making people do a family, a living family history. This is the test. I was like, bitch, what do you mean? This is the test.
Yes, let me see the curriculum. All of my relatives.
This is not the Common Core. What is this? I don't think so. This is government.
Pop up activity that wasn't on the syllabus at the beginning of the year because, you know, one student really read the syllabus, only one in the whole class, and ain't nobody asking no questions. This don't make no sense.
Also, I want to talk about what happens to Ms. Brummel, who's the older teacher. You know, everybody's getting infected, but everybody can't get infected. The host has to have a certain body condition because they found out later that when they go up to Zeke House, you know, it's a parasite. It can, you know, be revived with water. It can replicate on its own, but it's incomplete, and it has you know, like a master host. There's a queen, and if you take out the queen or king or whatever, the big joint, all the little joints get down. Kind of like Vampire Lord. We take out the big bang, everybody else is Gucci. So we learn that there, but it needs the host, and it picks a human or a rat like we see, and then they kill the rat, which okay, well, because we don't see it, but we hear it. It's loud. But Ms. Brummel, they tried to change her, and she is literally fucking melting, bro. Her scalp come off. She take it, I can't breathe, and standing in the shower butt naked, bro. No washcloth in sight. But, you know, putting the soap, this fucking soap bar on his face. There's a lot wrong with his shower, but there's more wrong with the teacher coming in, undressing in the shower. Mm-hmm. Like, please help me, and her scalp falling off. Something's not right. And then Elijah was just in there, so I know he see that shit. And Delilah was not too far behind. All of them are kind of aware of this situation. Because later Delilah and Delilah and Casey go in a little teacher's lounge and everything and see all the shit hop off. And then why they was getting the parents like that way, and they got the police. You can't even go to the police. So they have everybody working fast. The whole town is down with the sickness. Okay, everybody's an alien, giving invasions. Hey, it's giving Return of the Body Return of the Body Snatchers a lot. Of course, The Thing, because you have this thing replicating people. But it's not quite like The Thing, because The Thing, you can't tell. They blend right in natural. Like this, they're not acting the same, because there's a couple that was arguing all the time. Then it went from them arguing all the time to the dude getting turned first, and then the girl is just arguing with the dude, like, what the fuck, bitch, what the fuck, and slapping him, and he's not reacting. Then they both just being quiet and happy together, and you know that's not what it is, although they should have been broke up because toxic, but...
Period.
This is not normal. None of this is normal.
None of it.
We need some assistance. Also, Furlong, why would... Professor Furlong, they bring the jank case, like, I found a little jank. They put it in the water tank. They was like, let's look at it. Why would you put your hand in the tank? I would think it would bite me. I'm not trying to touch this. I would use a stick or something first.
Science, like, God.
But safe science. Because he had gloves on, but these are not like bite-proof thick gloves. These are just fucking latex gloves. Please.
Listen, I don't know what it is with just movies, or maybe, you know, there's some sort of reality at play in the situation. But when people start, like, getting in front of things that's, like, swimming around that they haven't really seen before, you know, that curiosity starts whooping their ass. And they just like, okay, well, let me touch it. Especially when there's the scene where they're introduced to the creature, and then when they make that discovery that it is water that revitalizes it, and he's like, whoa. Like, Mr. Professor Furlong's like, whoa, what the fuck? And it happens, like, over the course of, like, maybe 48 hours. So that's what it feels like to me. Like, one day the creature's in the case. The next day, Professor Furlong... It's like, I have a couple questions. The day after that, maybe it's the same day, the creature was gone, and Professor Furlong's like, I don't even know what y'all talk about, but does somebody want to come to my office later? And I'm like, he got that sauce. Chugging that water, looking all weird, acting like everybody else. It's just not great. Gonna fast forward a bit until we get to, like, the final showdown scenes, when all the students are remaining. Core group of students start getting picked off slowly. And when they're trying to figure out who amongst them actually is okay and who very much has fallen victim to the body snatcher syndrome that's happening. And then everyone's like, all right, so in order for us to figure out what's really going on, essentially it's a Let's Get High Freddy moment. You gotta sniff whatever's in this pen cap to let us know that you are not on that shit. And this is where we see, like, Delilah kind of stumble a bit. And because she's stumbling, Mary Beth gets to get off scot-free. Because she's like, I got that shit. So now we know that Delilah has got it. because they realize, like, you know, everyone here is going to keep playing like they are, you know, they're fine, they're okay, they're going to get out. But it's a part of the larger plan to take over, to spread. They feel like humans have fucked up enough. We here, alien or foreign life force, is going to take over your body, take over your being, take over your life, and actually push the agenda that we want to push. We've seen this in so many movies. I'm a fan. I never get tired of this. So we find out that most of the team, here's the scene that I thought was dumb. I forget the young man's name, but he was on the football team. And when they send him outside to go talk to the football team, I said, he about to head that sauce. Why the hell he even do that?
Come on. Why y'all do that to him? And then they, y'all wasted a scat pan on him. Because literally,
girl,
y'all give it to them. And he's like, dumping it out. Oh, and it was tense because you're like, you don't know if it's really him. They behind him. You don't know what's going on. And they're like, do-do-do-do-do. Like, come on, bro.
I wrote in my notes, I drew a pen. It says sniff, sniff.
Speaking of sniff, sniff, why the fuck did Casey sniff Delilah in that closet? That was fucking weird. And she smirked. Yeah. I was like,
And that's how you should have known she was on that shit.
People were, a lot of people on that shit. They was on that scat. Mm. They was on that weed. They was on all that bullshit.
Which
scat ended up being just caffeine. And caffeine does dehydrate you. So if you're drinking a lot of coffee, and me, I drink a lot of Red Bull. So I got to drink a lot of water also. So I am not like dehydrated. That. Yeah, no, not like that. Not like snorting the pills up your nose.
Those choices made.
A pen. That is a choice. That is a fucking lie. Mm-hmm. Why are we doing that? What was the reason?
This ain't the way.
It's not the way. Someone needs assistance. But they realize that Mary Beth, first of all, Stokely is in a jank and Mary Beth is in a jank. Mary Beth is butt ass naked, bruh. And they with Zeke and them coming there and Case coming there, they talk about something. Mary Beth's talking about, it's Stokely. She's infected. Bitch, you are butt ass naked. You think that's not suspicious? Girl. You don't think we can see you.
And they're
you.
Like, but why are you naked if Stokely is infected? Like, why? Why are you having no clothes on? Are you okay?
You're not okay. And I'm sure you could have gotten some clothes in between there. But Zeke is, you know, going over to Stokely. But he's kind of, you know, he gets his ass beat. And Casey is like, I got one last pin, bitch. And he literally runs through the bleachers. This scene sent me to hell. Now, I do understand why he did it. But he fell like 4 times jumping through these bleachers. Let me tell you something. And he didn't have to go that fast, because if you're able to fall and look back all the times you are, you could have just actually walked there through a regular safe speed and just not fallen at all. Because what if something in your clothes would have got caught or something? You could have just kind of moved through there. You look limber. Get through there. Come on, bro. But he eventually gets to the end, and the big ass monster has now fucking shared the Mary Beth fucking meat suit, and it's now a goddamn big ass Men in Black fucking bug alien creature larvae tentacle monster alien thing. And we hear the theme of conformity, like in the movie before with Disturbing Behavior, they're trying to conform to make like the perfect student, and it's all about success and we have less problems, but on the outside there's a lot of problems. And then you have on this side where, you know, they're conforming, and it on the outside, you know, when you see them at first, they have all these flaws where they're arguing and shit, but then they're not arguing anymore. They look good or pretty, or I'm like, but what was wrong with them before, with the way they look like before? You want them to look a certain way, so then now all the problems are solved. But your kind literally ran out of your resource. Your shit is still gonna be fucked up. You don't need to change us. Nothing is changing the fact that you came down here to colonize our shit. Don't talk about you're using us as a host for real. You're not making us better. You are using us to get what you need because you ran to the shit in your spot. So let's not try to mask it as something else, bitch.
And there you have it. This movie ends with a lot of these people dying, but a lot of people did not die. The show still goes on. Like we said, Zeke is still a super senior. He's still at the school. He's on the football team doing shit he probably never thought he would have did before. But hopefully he's focused on them grades, because that's actually all that matters, so he can finally get the fuck out of high school. And the remaining characters all carry on and live a life. The remaining faculty are just like, God damn, well, I'm here, you know. And then the news, you know, it's not like they act like it didn't happen. Like, you hear the news talk about how a lot of students have reported what they saw, what was going on. And now it's an investigation as to what's really happening. So I do like how they don't try to basically be like, oh, those kids made that shit up. Like, they still might eventually go that route, but it wasn't immediately placed as a part of like, oh, no, fuck that. Wash, their story's a wash. It's not really going on like, oh, like a smear campaign. It's just popping. It's cool. So the faculty, it's an hour and 44 minutes, which I think I said several times, it does not need to be. I think we was good with a good hour 30, hour 20.
Not hour 20, but a bit too short. I feel like maybe an hour 30, 15, 35, 15, 10 those minutes could have, because some of that stuff was kind of pertinent to the plot points. But mm-hmm. I think that there is some scenes that are kind of long for no fucking reason.
Yeah.
Or just, come on, guys. Come on, friends. It didn't need to be this long. But people like to make long movies because I don't know why. Why?
They got a story to tell, girl.
Because I'm like, feature length is what, 120?
Like, go just about 120, 130.
I would chop as much as necessary to get it as tight as possible. Because when it's bloated, you can kind of feel it. Or if nothing's really happening or the scene isn't given a whole lot, like it's not entertaining. Because sometimes scenes are added, they're not necessary, but they're fun. So we have them. And that's fine. But I feel like we maybe could have cut a little bit, or some things could have been shorter. Some mm-hmm. escape scenes, just a little bit of that stuff. Some mm-hmm. running, some arguing, some teenage dirtbag behavior. It could have been curved a little bit. But would I watch this again? Yes, I'm probably going to watch this again within the next 6 months, because I'm going to. Why not? I like sci-fi. I like sci-fi, I like aliens, I like body horror. I like those kinds of things. Now, I do like slashers and all kinds of other movies, but I do enjoy a good fucking aliens invasion. We about to take over the humans, because I do quite enjoy it. Almost all versions of the invasion of the body snatchers, because there's like four to my knowledge. I think I've seen at least three of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I like them all because I'm like, yep, this theme. Good time.
It's always a good choice and a good time. But just to get into... Oh, yeah. No. Oh, sorry. Backing up. Just want to slide into ratings a bit for this movie before we close everything out. This movie on the internet streets was rated 6.5 out of 10 on IMDb and a 55% on Rotten Tomato. The faculty is at least a 7, 7.5. I don't know what the fuck you hoes are talking about, period.
Exactly. I'm like, 55%, bitch. Y'all are smoking dicks.
Yep, they are.
Y'all are smoking dicks. Now, of course, you might disagree. Some people might hate this movie. And some of the dialogue is, you know, some of the language is, you know, some of it is, you know, reminiscent of the thing. But I don't care about that. I mean, I feel like it's obvious and I'm just like fine with it. I also like the thing. I like this too. I would give this a 7.5. Definitely a 7.5. I lean into the camp. I lean into the teen drama. I'm definitely leaning into the sci-fi and aliens. There is some CG that could use work, but it's 1998. What did you want them to do in 1998? You still had phones with fucking call IDs that were separate from the phone. Come on, guys. Leave them alone.
Yeah, yes, please. Also, sorry, I'm a little entranced by the situation where Margaret White and the gym teacher has cornered Salma Hayek in the teacher room, in the staff work room, and now they about to put that sauce on her. And I'm like, I send help, bitch. So I got a pain. Send help.
No, not Salma Hayek. I also don't like that. They try to make people ugly by putting their hair back and putting the glasses on them. This is the same bitch. You just took their glasses off and let their hair down, and you might have put a pinch of concealer underneath their eyes. That is all y'all did. I cannot stand you bitches. And speaking of makeup, why the fuck did Lila talk about that makeup that took her 72 minutes to put on? Was it? Yeah, 72 minutes. I was like, girl, this is a nude. What are you talking about? If you don't get she you some LA colors, 72 minutes for a lip, go to hell.
Was it the lashes?
Was she wearing those?
I don't know. I don't think so. I was trying to be polite.
She looked like Piper from Fallout 4, so I don't really know.
I cannot imagine being in a situation at a school and everyone has like some sort of parasitic thing that's going on. I could just see me right now. I'm at work. Get to my car and leaves. I'm trying to do my job. See you guys later. This doesn't sound like what was in my job description. No.
No. I definitely quitting. I am quitting. Also, I feel like I would have been looking for another school when they tell everybody that the history teacher, government teacher is drunk all the time. Y'all, we just got a drunk co-worker and we just gonna let that rock. I need to find a new school. Yeah, I need to go ahead and put in for a transfer because fuck that.
This is not a place.
How did you guys feel about this? Oh, by the way, by the end, didn't need to say this at the end. They all couple up in the ways that are not, you know.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, you got Stokely. They done took her golf outfit off, which they got this ugly cardigan on her. And I'm annoyed because her outfit was cute. All right, whatever. You got her with Stan, fine, whatever. You got Casey with Delilah. But we knew that Delilah liked Casey a little bit because if not, she would have slapped him when he sniffed her. So there's that.
I'm still rolling my eyes, but I'm also excited because my man's from Grease 2 plays Casey's dad. I love seeing him in all the movies. Yep, he's in Grease 2. I think I showed you this. You were like, what? And I was like, yeah.
You probably did. You did show me Grease 2.
Yes.
We just watched that literal, you for the back to school jank, she made me watch the entire little jank of their routine. Yep, again, before we started the episode as a primer because reasons. And, you know, I'm not mad at it.
But yes, let us know if y'all seen these movies, if you were excited about them, if you hated them, if back to school horror or school-based horror is your jam. Let us know. You can send us a professional email at grltspod@gmail.com. You can pull up on us on our social media places of where we like to roam, which is Instagram and Twitter, which is @girlthatscary. Or if you're just like, girl, fuck that. I just want to do all the other things. Well, guess what? There are other things. You could put, I know I got really aggressive with all the things, whatever, bro. You could pull up on our Patreon where we have free content. We have content that's not for the free ski, but whatever, man, whatever floats your boat. We appreciate everyone who just supports us in general. Like if every listen, every share, every retweet. Saying it slow. Yeah, shout out again to our Patreon supporters. If it wasn't for y'all, there wouldn't be no us. And that's for all of y'all. And yeah, keep on rocking out wherever you rocking out with a dildo or your thoughts or your cock out. And yep, that's all I got.
I didn't think it was going to end that way. But
I didn't either.
Okay, you just, all right, we're here.
Strap up!
Wow.
Bow, 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 bow.
We're going to go back.
Back to school again. Shout out to all the educators. Shout out to you for being a human in the world. Shout out for you for pressing play. And until next time, guys, bye.
Thank you for listening to the Dread Podcast Network.